in a world of mindless movie cliches. One podcast fights back. Critics are calling it profound, epic, free. Prepare to revisit your video cassette memories of the 1980s and 90s. Behold, it's VHS Rewind.
Hello, I am your host, Mark, and I am talking tonight with Christopher. How are you, Christopher?
I am fine.
Good. Well, thank you very much, and please subscribe to this podcast. Take it easy. No. Chris, I'm very excited about this topic.
I'm itching to my heart.
Really?
Yes, any the one thing that is always going to set me on that nostalgia trail is anything from Saturday morning TV programming.
Well, here's a little clip. I'm just going to throw a hint out there. So I don't know if anybody can recognize that from all the growling and distortion, but it's Bigfoot and Wild Boy.
Did you watch this as a young one?
No.
I don't know if it was before your time, you young whippersnapper,
well, you know, a big resounding no. I never heard of it. Well, I heard of it for the first time last year. A friend of mine just kind of threw it into the mix of a conversation. And I said, you know, that's not real. Is that a real TV show? So I looked it up and I couldn't believe it. You know, you and I have, like 4 years between us. And it's amazing the span of what you were able to surround yourself with and what I kind of missed out on. It's kind of strange.
There was a lot of good stuff that might have predated you. In terms of Saturday morning programming, I mean, it really changed really drastically and quickly.
Right. I mean, I would say when I got into Saturday morning TV and cartoons, my earliest memories are maybe when I was, I'm going to guess, 8 or 9. So that has to be, you know, 79 to 80. By the time 83 came around, I was getting a little tired of Saturday morning cartoons, and I kind of remember Pac-Man being one of the last cartoons I would watch.
I was definitely out by then.
Yeah, you were a teenager looking for your next drug. No.
And anyway, right around then would have been like VHS. I don't know how early you got a VHS player.
We did have an early one, but we didn't. Yeah, you know, I don't know how you were about taping things, but we would tape over a tape over and over again. And in retrospect, you know, it just kills me that we did that. No archives. You know, there was no belief of an archive. For whatever reason, we felt, okay, we taped it, we watched it, and we do not ever need to watch it again.
And
that's nothing about the way I am now.
What about you?
Did you guys tape things and save them?
We never saved anything. We couldn't afford VHS blank VHS tapes until a little later on.
Maybe that was it. Like the tapes were probably like $8 each.
Yeah. Even the cheaper, like the TDK.
Well, TDK is a good brand. You get the kind of Kobe. Like a Sony knockoff tape. Not everyone's going, you know, Maxell, I guess.
I definitely couldn't afford Maxell.
Yeah, I remember Maxell was like, you know, it would come with a plastic case and extra stickers and extra wrap and same exact tape.
I thought TDK was like right in the middle. It wasn't like the cheapo stuff you would get like at a Woolworths or a cheap store.
There's nothing wrong. I never felt like TDK was an a cheap brand. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think it was cheap, but it wasn't, you know, super expensive, like you say, like the Memorex or the Maxells.
Right. Memorex. Ugh.
But yeah, these live action TV programs from Saturday mornings, from we're talking 77 to I would maybe 79. I can't wait until we do like ISIS and Jason of Star Command and
Wasn't Isis the warrior princess?
no, she was like the Egyptian goddess with this amazing tan. She was gorgeous. She reminded me of like my first grade teacher.
And
So,
Shazam.
and Shazam. Oh man, Shazam.
Shazam! It's like, oh my God. I remember he had a spirit guide of some sort, and it was a very strange show. But this falls into that whole category. And, I did grow up watching Shazam. Maybe I just would flip the channel. Maybe there was something else on, and I missed out on this somehow.
I'm wondering, like, what is on Saturday morning TV now? I mean, I have to take a look. I really have not looked in over 2 decades.
It's definitely focused towards, like the 11 and 12-year-old boy for the most part.
Oh,
There's
yeah, I
like
just.
Transformers cartoons, like more serious cartoons. Nothing. I mean, I don't know. It seems like, now we have Cartoon Network. Now we have full channels dedicated to cartoons, not to mention TiVo and,
It's
different
true.
things. So, you don't really have to go and wait until Saturday morning. It used to be such an
Oh, you know,
event.
you're right. You're right. Duh, I didn't even think of that.
Well, especially with Netflix and such like that. But I mean, I remember Saturday mornings was, that was the shit. Like that was,
That was, yes.
you wake up as early
Still.
as you can and you don't
Yes.
leave until like noon. Well, I'm gonna say 11 o'clock was the cutoff. That's when everything started, like, all right, what's going on here?
Yeah, after 11, you started getting things like Bill Cosby and Fat Albert, which came on at like noon or something.
I'm speaking of Bill Cosby. I just wanted to say,
What?
I sat in Bill Cosby's Porsche today.
Did he know you were in it?
No. It was once his Porsche. And I went to a car dealership today, and it was, I believe, a 1958 Porsche. Beautiful car. And I don't know, I could just imagine him eating a Jell-O pudding pop, driving around.
I'm just doing a Bill Cosby face eating pudding. You can't tell.
I didn't. I should have found out how much the car was selling for, but I didn't. The prices were so obscene for these cars that it would just hurt my feelings.
Does a former Bill Cosby car, is there cachet with being a former Bill Cosby car or
Yes.
interesting?
It's kind of
So what
like
did you?
that Seinfeld episode where he buys the LeBaron that was once owned by, I forget the name of the actor.
LeBaron.
It's a running joke. I'll find out.
And
But
what did you walk away with from this car show?
a 1953, it wasn't a car show, it's a dealer, like
A
just a
dealer.
dealership. A 1953 MG midget. No offense. And it's a phenomenal car. It's one of those kind of has like the coffin front and the to access the engine, you have to flip it open like from the side. It even has a
Nice.
crank in the front if you wanted to put one. It's yeah, it's a 1953 four-cylinder, really, really beautiful piece. Things it has interesting details such as a leather dash, a wood, really, really beautiful steering wheel that's made of like maple. The car itself has floorboards that are made of hardwood. They're not made of steel.
Hardwood.
Yeah, made of maple. And the frames of the doors and the convertible walls and everything are all hardwood maple. It's a very interesting car. And it's all black. So you bought a black car on Friday the 13th.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool car. You got a very good price. And, it's a death trap. Death trap.
It goes 30 on the highway, right?
Easily. Easily. Not a fast car. Not a fast car. But, yeah, so I sat in Bill Cosby's Porsche. today, which was, that was my Bill Cosby thing. So anyway, yeah, like by 11:30, you're getting into like the Cosby Kids and heavy-handed stuff.
Yeah, to message stuff. We didn't need that. We didn't need that.
Well, you know, there's also those commercials that were in between. You know, like
what like in the news, and I know CBS did things like In the News, and ABC did Schoolhouse Rock, and
well, wasn't Schoolhouse Rock even a little bit later?
Yeah, you, well, yeah, maybe early 80s, early 80s. No?
Hold on. Yeah, I'm thinking 80s.
And I know when I watched Super Friends, they had like, they always had interesting interstitials where you could make ice pops with
that
juice.
That's the one I'm looking for. What would you call that? I'm looking for it right now.
Oh, man, you're asking me to go through my memory.
Saturday morning commercial breaks.
Interstitials.
But I remember him saying, like, just pour some orange juice in an ice cube tray, put a piece of plastic over, put some, it's like, gently insert exactly. toothpicks, put it in the freezer, in just a couple hours, you'll have delicious treats. It's like, well, I'm so hungry, I could eat a wagon wheel, you know? That's what he used to say. I used to love those little things. I don't know what they're called, though.
And I will try and look while we do this.
Yeah. Wait, here. Here's one that'll bring back some memories.
Bang, bang, bang! Oh, howdy, partner. Time for timer. Do you ever get that hungry feeling after school? Boy, I do. I'm so hungry, I could eat a wagon wheel.
When I'm slow on the draw and I need something to chaw, I hanker for a hunk of cheese. When my 10-gallon hats are feeling 5 gallons flat, I got something planned, which is little cheese sandwiches. Come on! Here's a great little snack to tide you over till dinner. If you want something delicious and nutritious, cheese is a super snack. Look, a wagon wheel. When my get up and go has got up and went, I hanker for a hunk of cheese. When I'm dancing a hold down and my boots kind of slow down, or any time I'm weak in the knees, I hanker for a hunk of, a slab or slice of chunk of, a snacker that is a winner and yet won't spoil my dinner. I hanker for a hunk of cheese. Yahoo!
Do you remember that one at all?
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was that was a really funny one. But, yeah, I mean, I still don't know which one the ice one was, but this is, and there's also, do you remember Yuck Mouth?
Yuck Mouth? No, that, off you the really, top of my head, no.
I got to play this for you. This is not going to be an episode about just PSAs, but Yuck Mouth was by, I'm going to come up with the name. You're going to be able to recognize his voice. So just check it out.
They call me Yuck Mouth because I don't brush. Oh, I like my teeth like this. They call me Yuck Mouth. No, I won't brush. How's a bottle of a kiss? I got more teeth in my teeth. Got some chicken too. Ouch. That's a cabbage, hey, that's me. Well, if you don't brush your teeth, then kids, you too can be a yuck mouth.
Don't be a yuck mouth. Another nutritional message from the ABC Television Network.
That's it. Crothers?
Scatman.
Yeah, Scatman Crothers. That's who was singing that. That's pretty
cool. That was awesome. It's funny. I see like the artwork for that.
It's pretty
but
cool.
I don't remember that. Man, that's the 70s. Wow.
Yeah. But somehow I remember that from when I was a kid. So, you know, but so getting back to, you know, Bigfoot and Wild Boy, why don't we explain the premise a little bit? This is the pilot episode that we watched.
Yep. I think to let's discuss this premise, but the opening credits do that for us. If we want to give that a listen.
Sure. Wait, that you wanted the opening credits?
Right, did you get that?
No, I didn't pull the exact intro. But if you give me 5 seconds, I can pull that up.
Okay.
That should not be a problem.
Because like Shazam, like Ice Age.
Out of the great Northwest comes the legendary Bigfoot, who 8 years ago saved a young child lost in the vast wilderness and raised that child until he grew up to be Wild Boy.
Sid and Marty Croft.
that theme just like burns itself into my skull.
It's got like the wah-wah pedal, like
it's got everything.
Yeah, it's so completely over the top retro, even for the time. It was so beyond. You know, Wild Boy is a blonde, which makes no sense to me. I don't see why the Wild Boy would have this like kind of.
He's very well groomed. He's cleaned, and he speaks well. He, according to this show, he can even write notes. So
Bigfoot raised him, and somehow, I guess maybe it's in our DNA to be able to learn these things.
So why he dresses the way he does in these, I guess, homemade. Wild Boy costume that he wears is beyond me.
Yeah, it's like a potato sack.
Yeah.
the whole premise is actually wonderful.
So like Isis and Shazam and, you know, all these other shows, I think these were CBS shows. They have these helpful opening credit scenes that introduce us to their basic premise.
Right.
So I want to ask, you know, we know Bigfoot comes from the Pacific Northwest. So to see him running around in the locale in this show, which was obviously filmed in the hills of California, of Hollywood, I think. I mean, it's like not a forest area.
This is 20 minutes outside of Hollywood, no doubt about it.
Yeah. So why Bigfoot is out there is just beyond me.
It's like, you know, on a hot summer day, he's going to be warm. He's right. Going to hate it.
It looked really dry, like just filming this. I can't imagine the guy in this suit, this big suit.
And, you know, it wasn't easy to locate which episode was the pilot. There's very little history online about this. You know, we had to dig through the crates, so to speak, to even find which episode was the pilot. And I don't know if this was the best pilot. I don't know if this was the best premise for a pilot.
This has a strange,
very tough. It's a very tough plot. You have these two guys, which I'm still not clear as to who they are.
I think I got it.
One's a cop, maybe?
No. One is a professor who has invented what they call a laser projector. And the other guy has been helping him steal parts to build this thing. And they are down to their final piece that they need to get this laser projector to work.
Now, one of these guys, will you tell us who he was?
It was Boss Hogg. I couldn't believe it.
Boss Hogg. Every time I look at him, I think like, get those Duke boys.
and he's really kind of muted here. I was like, wow, he's got like no energy. It should be said that everybody on the show comes out terribly.
Yeah, everything is so flat. You know, you say like he doesn't have energy. No one has energy.
Nobody does, except maybe Bigfoot. Maybe
the brightest character in this entire thing is the cute girl.
Oh, she's horrible, though.
Yeah, she is horrible, but she at least is bubbly.
Yes, yes. Even at the beginning, they've trapped some animals, and even those animals are dubbed over. I mean, the sound of the animals do not fit the footage.
There's a panther. There's actually, I think, a part where it's like 10 minutes. And yes. all it is noise. Like, you know what? Wow. Do you mind if I play that? It's the most ridiculous thing. I have it here.
Ow.
I just want to see if this is it. All right, this is 24 seconds long. I might have just taken this as a snippet, but I guarantee it went on longer and longer. Here you go. You know what? That wasn't all the growling, but
so that yeah, that should be noted. That sound effect is the Bigfoot swings into action.
It was the Bionic Man
sound effect. We'll get to that. So let's finishing up what Boss Hogg's plan is. He's created this. What again? They call it a laser projector, and they have been stealing parts to build it, and now they need one last component to get it to work. Which they call a plutonium element.
So it's nuclear. And, this is a nuclear device in the back of a van.
As luck would have it, there is an armored car that is passing through the hills of California that is carrying this plutonium element. And these guys have got the craziest plan to bust the plutonium element out of there. What they're going to do is, and I got this by piecing it together by repeated viewings, they have tied the animals in the beginning with the overdubbed animals. They've tied a sheep out in the middle of a field, hoping a cougar or I don't know what it was, a panther or a...
I think it was a panther. I mean, is hey. It, whatever it was.
It, like, but it goes, wow!
Yeah.
It's just great sound effects. And they are going to lure Bigfoot and Wild Boy out to save the sheep, which they do because somehow they have telepathic powers because Bigfoot says, Wild Boy, Kola Nalulu Takata, which means a sheep is in trouble. We got to go help.
Well, here's that scene, actually, if you want to hear it.
Wild Boy, Kola Tarulu Tadaka.
And whoever did this wanted Tadaka to attack the lamb. But who, Bigfoot, and why?
And there you go.
And so they saved the sheep, but that was the plan. They want these guys wanted to test Bigfoot's power. So it's funny that that sound effect of the running, you would think, and even during the credits, you see that Bigfoot is apparently outrunning a car.
Mm-hmm.
And yet every single time Wild Boy and Bigfoot start running, Wild Boy is always way ahead of Bigfoot, who always has to make a ba-ya-ba leap to finally catch up to him. So I don't understand Bigfoot's power.
Wild Boy! Maybe that's why he's yelling all that. Wait up.
But I don't know. He's supposed to have these amazing powers, and yet he's always the last to arrive at a scene.
And how many times do they say booyah-ya, whatever?
What was it? Like, at least five. That's
there's
like
another. Oh, wait, that's the intro. I'm sorry. I forgot that. Oh, wait, no. That couldn't have been the intro.
I say that to my kids all the time now.
Really?
Whenever I get angry, I go, Bayaba!
Bayaba! Bayaba!
What was that? I don't know, and I don't care. Let's get out of here.
That's just ridiculous.
Here's the part of the plan I don't understand is that these bad guys, Boss Hogg and his... I didn't recognize his character actor, if he's a character actor. They Wild Boy and Bigfoot have a girl friend. I don't know. She's a native or I don't know. She's a scientist of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
But the bad guys have left her a note to say, please come out and meet me, as if it's from Wild Boy, who can apparently write notes. as I mentioned. So why she needs to be there, I don't know. But then what these guys do to test Bigfoot, they explode a mountain and make it avalanche on an avalanche of rocks falling on Bigfoot and his friends.
Susie.
Susie.
Monica
And
Ramirez.
like that's gonna kill everybody. And indeed it knocks Bigfoot out, so I'm not sure if he was actually if this was a good test of his powers. But what they do is they then capture, I thought they were buried under rocks, but somehow they're able to, Wild Boy and Susie are able to be taken out of that avalanche while Bigfoot is knocked unconscious.
Right,
The
right.
bad guys put Wild Boy and Susie into a van and drive away, but they have already recorded on cassette tape. Did you notice that cassette tape?
I love that part, though.
They've recorded the Biaba call that passes between Bigfoot and Wild Boy.
Right. I mean,
and
they
so they're
basically recorded it for to archive it, to
to
track him in the
archive it, because
future.
what they're doing, here's the plan now, here's where it all comes together. They're going to put the recorder with these massive speakers under the armored car and play the Biaba so Bigfoot will think Wild Boy is in that armored car, so he'll rip the door off, and the bad guys will then be able to get the plutonium element. Now, why this armored car is parked in the middle of the hills? I mean, we just open on this armored car.
Well,
I
ran out of
guess the
gas.
guys, I had to look twice, but those guys were filling up their canteens with water in the lake, and that's why the armored car was double parked in
Yeah,
the
I
middle
mean,
of nowhere.
and again, this is taking place easily 1 mile away from a parkway, probably. So it's hard to have this like disconnect, but also, Bigfoot, you think he lives in the woods and everything, like you were saying before, and this is like really
Flat, arid.
like the plains.
Yes.
It's like Bigfoot living on a farm.
And there's a scene where Wild Boy like ropes a tree. This is towards the end, where he ropes a tree and swings. And I was like, how far did he just swing? Or are we supposed to think he has swung? Because it's a dramatic swing, but there's this lone tree that he's ropes and it was just like, this is a really poorly directed show. I mean,
Well,
it's really bad.
another thing that I thought was strange is how slow the action is. For instance, the guys on the dirt bikes, even, they
When they go to
move.
net
Oh
Bigfoot.
my God. And it's not even netting, they have a rope, right?
Oh, right, it was a rope.
It's like, we're going to floss you or something. And they must be going maybe 5 miles per hour. For real, 5 miles per hour. And even when they're riding.
I thought that was setting up like a big stunt or something, like Bigfoot will pull the
Nah.
rope and they'll go flying off or something. That doesn't even happen either. He just growls and they fall over or something. I was just, wow, this is pretty lame.
And then the what was it? The girl comes out of n just onto the street. They stop, right?
And she says, come with me.
Right. And they get off the bikes very awkwardly and put down the kickstands. And then they get back on the bike because somebody's honking the horn of the
Right,
truck.
because Wild Boy has tied his only belt around the somehow the horn to
Yeah.
keep it, to keep it going. So
That
he
sounds
meant
easy.
to distract them that way. I didn't figure that out either. Like, that was Susie's role in this? Okay.
Yeah, it was a very strange little thing, and I think this says it all. This goes on forever.
Fire!
also want to say these clips that I'm playing are all from different parts of the show. These are not the same clips over and over again.
That last one I'm turning into like a phone ring.
Oh my God.
For my wife.
It's just like, noise.
I'll know it's my wife when it's Bayaba.
Oh my God. It's, I think I have one clear one. If you want to hear it. Bayaba!
That was pretty good.
Bayaba! Bayaba? What is he singing?
It's Bayaba. Now, like I say, this is like a nostalgia trip for me, and as terrible as it is, I'm thinking like I love the show. I love this show.
Really?
And I remember thinking, wow, this is really cool. Like, cause you remember when? Do you remember like Bigfoot at all? Like how hot?
Sure, he was? Like Sasquatch. At the same time, you had that other TV show. The wilderness guy. What was his name? Grizzly Adams.
Oh, Grizzly Adams. Yeah.
That fell into that whole kind of coolness of it all.
Yep. And don't forget there was Bigfoot on the $6 Million Man.
That I forgot about, actually. And you know what? This borrows a lot from the $6 Million Man, like with the sound effect and the slow motion to represent speed.
Yes.
Except they just don't implement the idea at all. It's just thoughtless.
It's a kid's show, so like if you're over the age of three, you might not like it. But
don't you make me? You're making excuses. That's the problem. In a future episode, you have Chris Knight actually on an episode of the White Wolf episode,
which on a plot wise is a better show.
Right?
It's a better episode.
I didn't know that the ending was on the copy that we had, so I never saw the ending.
Oh,
I know. I have to go back. I will.
It in this episode. Let's talk about the ending of this episode, because so the Boss Hogg has his plutonium, and he says to his friend, or his other friend says, "Now nothing can stop us now."
What a weird shot that was. They're just like driving. They're like, "Nobody can drop us now. Now we're going to be the richest men in the world."
No, they weren't driving. They were sitting in a chair and pretending to go, you know, side to side as if they were driving.
That's true. Somebody was rocking the van or something.
And I'm like, well, you guys didn't think that Bigfoot could throw boulders to capsize your truck or something to run you off the road. So here's my favorite part, though. They actually break out this laser projector.
Oh, I love that thing.
And Bigfoot's throwing boulders at them and the projector doesn't make the boulders explode or anything. It just makes them disappear into thin air.
Now, did you understand what the laser is doing right away?
I did not know.
No, because they showed just a blue picture, right? He sets up this like weird looking thing and I'm like, all right, that's a cool looking laser. Okay. And he presses the button and it goes to a blue screen. Flat, you know, just a plain blue screen. Nothing. And I'm like, all right, maybe this is a special version that came out in the special effect or something like that was not implemented. It wasn't put in. But then they showed a boulder just bloop disappear. And it took a few times for me to get what they were trying to do. The laser disintegrates it completely with the jump cut.
But our man Bigfoot is impervious to a laser projector.
But he's the ultimate effect right there. He's fading away.
Is that what?
It was like at the end of Back to the Future, where Marty is trying to get his parents to kiss and them to have a relationship, and he's about to be erased from existence, and that's what it reminded me of. And then you have Wild Boy come out with a lasso.
Right? That's what I mean. Then,
like, you're wasting your time with a lasso? Come on. Like, what are you doing?
And this plutonium-powered laser projector, how do you stop it? He unplugs it.
You unplug two wires. And all this white smoke pours out of it. It's like, that might be kind of, I don't know, carcinogenic. Maybe you should stay away from that stuff right there.
And so that saves Bigfoot.
I have a clip here called A Plan. Do you know what that would be?
Say that again.
I have a clip here, which was I named A Plan. You know what that might be?
I don't.
I'm going to play it because it might fall into what we're talking about.
Bigfoot, we've got to stop that professor. If he gets out of these mountains with that plutonium, no one will be able to stop him.
Bigfoot, Torata, professor.
Good. We'll keep the guards busy.
How can we stop them?
I've got a plan, but I'll need your help. Now, come on.
All right, that's not so
bad. That was how they planned to get the guards.
Awesome.
But
yeah, that happened right before he pulled the plug.
Would you show this to your kid?
Oh, he watched it with son? Me. He liked it.
Did he really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm gonna show this to my kid.
He thinks it's ridiculous. He likes the Brady Bunch too, though. You know, he kind of likes stuff. Now after all this happens, you know, they basically save the day. You know, I don't recall what happens to them. Boss Hogg and
this is another question about the premise, and this is also knowing about, you know, I watched the Chris Knight episode because I wanted to see Peter from the Brady Bunch.
Right.
I was glad to see he got work after the Brady Bunch. So Bigfoot is a known quantity in this area because, I mean, Susie knows about him. Mm-hmm. And in that other episode, more people know.
And you know, by name, Chris Knight episode. Like, hey, wild boy. Hey, Bigfoot.
And in this one, like these armored car guards are surprised by what is, you know, chasing after their truck.
Well, I have their clip if you want to hear it.
So this is the end though, where they what you know? How does Bigfoot remain a mystery? And this is how they solve it.
Don't worry about your secret. The only people they'll be seeing are in jail, and me. Why, I don't even know what a Bigfoot or a wild boy is. But I am glad you were here. Thanks.
Jerk.
You see. So you see how flat the acting is. I mean, man, nobody can say a line.
Yeah, it's all pretty much like right on the spot. You know, like what's my line type of thing.
So I guess that's how no one is going to divulge that there's a Bigfoot in the hills of California. And my favorite part, because this is a Saturday morning show, we have to get the lesson of the episode at the very end.
Now, I left in the end, the very end, where there's a strange moment where Bigfoot says something. And Wild Boy is, hears him. Somehow Bigfoot and Wild Boy can actually communicate fully.
Just for our listening audience, it should be noted that Bigfoot is looking at Susie's breasts.
Or, yes. So.
But when he says this.
Yeah, so I'm just going to play it and then we'll pick it apart.
Not a bad day's work. Saving that plutonium power element. In the wrong hands, it's the most dangerous substance man has ever uncovered.
The color to so cold.
Right. All the resources in the world can help mankind. But like plutonium, in the wrong hands, they can also destroy man.
Well, lucky for everyone, you and Bigfoot were here.
Well, you were an important part, too.
You mean that?
Sure.
Koto Zorite.
What'd he say?
That he thinks so, too.
Bob, are you sure that's what he said? Wild Boy.
That he thinks so, too.
Sorry. I was trying to go back because I wanted to hear what he said again. Wait, hold on.
Koto Zorite.
What does that sound like to you?
You didn't do shit, bitch.
Koto Zorite.
Huh.
And yeah, I can't imagine what. For the audience at home, like there's this comical faces going, well, from Wild Boy anyway, And what is he supposed to have said that I don't know, unless it's like I'd shag her or something. I'd like
But their
to
demographic is like, you
I'd like to
know,
show you my
an
Bigfoot.
11-year-old, 10-year-old, and under.
And under, yeah, I would think under.
I mean, he's
This is
not gesturing, he's not doing
he's just standing there.
anything. It just didn't make any sense. So I didn't know if that was supposed to be kind of like risque or something, but it didn't land.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
And I'm glad we're learning from Wild Boy about plutonium.
And how plutonium in the wrong hands can be very dangerous.
Like you grew up in by a Bigfoot. You shouldn't be able to say plutonium. Like, what is the problem here? This, a lot of loose ends here.
It should be noted when that armored car drives away at the end, the door is back on the back. So
Of course.
I guess
It healed itself.
the truck with the laser, we don't know where that is.
Or the laser, you
Or
know.
the laser.
No, so what happened to the, I'm trying to remember what happened to the two guys.
Well, remember, they unplug the laser.
Right.
And the other guy says, "I'm getting out of here." And Boss Hogg, just like I say, he's zero energy. He just sits down on the edge of the truck and just waits for the cops to come, and shakes his head. He's like, oh, "I give up. I give up. I'm not doing nothing here."
It's like you were just about to be the richest man in the world. Somehow. Not sure how.
And then as that guard was saying it, they're putting the two guys in the back of the back of the armored truck with the plutonium, it should be noted. 'Cause they put Boss Hogg and his friend into the back of the armored car, and I'm like, well, that's where the plutonium is, so that can't be safe.
Yeah, it does
It's
not
the kids,
beg. Yeah,
no.
it doesn't really lend itself to rewatchability though. Like, I don't really care anymore. Do you?
I come on, it was it would brought a smile to my face to keep hearing those sound effects and Bayaba
Like, I don't think there's going to be a Bigfoot and Wild Boy rape episode, like in Little House or something. It could
I
be.
don't it's that's funny. I wonder what in the Chris Knight episode, he gets turned Chris Knight gets turned into like a not a Bigfoot, but he gets turned into an animal, wolfman-like creature, sort of. I mean, these things had no budget. That's another thing that
So you're saying you will still go back and watch this. This is something that.
I know, like I have Jason of Star Command on DVD. I know Shazam is on DVD. Isis is on DVD. This is not on official DVD, is it?
No, and I'm wondering if there's a Sid and Marty Krofft type of thing. I wonder, are there shows available on DVD?
Oh, isn't like what was that? Sigmund and the Sea Monsters? Is that Sid Marty Krofft? I think it is, isn't it? Or is
Yeah.
that
Let me look on Amazon for them. I'm just kind of curious because I know that there was like a videotape that was released in the 90s of, forgotten television, and Bigfoot and Wild Boy was a part of that. But that's about it. Ah, there's a Sid and Marty Krofft Saturday morning hit. Not really sure what that
I am
is.
going to have to look for that.
It's $4.
Dr. Shrinker, I never heard of that. I did hear of that, but I don't remember that at all.
Oh,
Magic
yes.
Mongo. Wonder what that is. I want to look at Magic Mongo.
But all right, so I say we continue for next time. Next time, I don't know what show we are going to review, but I don't know. I kind of want to step into the modern world next time. What do you think?
Okay.
I'm not really sure what. Maybe
You're
Orange is the New
talking the
Black.
80s then, huh?
The The Orange is the New Black, maybe. I don't know.
Do you watch that?
No, but I heard it's very good. And there's a lot of nudity.
How about the new Fargo? Do you watch that?
No, I heard it's great, though.
Yeah, I heard that's supposed to be really good.
You know what's an excellent show right now is, and it's always been very good, is Louie.
You know, I didn't give that enough of a chance. I watched some of it, but
I highly recommend it, although the show goes, if you watch it from the very beginning, like the first season, it's very funny. But it takes, on the second season, it takes a very dark twist. And it becomes less funny and just more...
Oh, geez.
You know, not even preachy, it just becomes a very dark show. And that continues. In this particular season, you could see the maturity of Louis C.K. He had an hour and a half episode, which blows my mind. This could have been a movie. And Chris, I'm being serious when I say you should seriously watch it. This was an episode. This isn't about this show, but I'm going to just kind of go into it really quickly. He goes somewhere and he sees his 12-year-old daughter smoking pot. And he bugs out. He's just like blown away. So he has a flashback to when he was a kid, 12. So it's based in the 80s. And it's done so well. This could have been a movie. It was so good.
But it's not funny?
No, it is funny. It's back to being funny. It's almost like he goes through phases where he's doing things with television that just aren't done. Like he's making a comedy that's not so funny as it is charming, you know, there's all of a sudden in the middle of it, there's a gross joke and different comedians come in and out. It's always funny, but it's also always deep, I guess.
What is the upshot of the pot episode? Like, does he do anything with his daughter? Does he chastise her or?
He basically, and I, you know, not to give away the whole thing, but he kind of looks and reflects upon how he was when he first smoked pot and the way the adults, I guess, treated him. And at the end, he tried something different. You know, he went a different route and I agreed with it. Like as a parent, I thought, all right, this was actually a sensible way. And I feel as though maybe he writes from the heart in that sense. It's not total fiction, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, he plays a stand-up comedian with two daughters. I think he has two daughters, you know. So he is writing, you know, from his actual experiences. I don't know if his daughter really smoked pot, but it is realistic that a 12-year-old will smoke pot now. Or then.
Especially when it's becoming legal.
Yes. Tax those kids.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for getting together, and I look forward to next time.